It's Wednesday, 30th of May, and you're listening to the Game Green Greencast, your guide to the world of gaming news from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me is a packed house of Cal.
Good evening.
Hamilton.
Hello.
Kayla.
Hello, everyone.
Nikki. A fish. And Catty.
This podcast being proof that good things come to those who wait.
Yes, we're recording a day late. You may notice I said Wednesday, and you may notice that you aren't listening to this yesterday. We had technical issues, so we decided to skip a day. And it's a good thing we did, because there's been a couple of things revealed overnight. We'll get to that shortly. First, we'll check in what's everyone been doing this week. Cal.
Well, I've been playing a whole mixed bag of games this week. I'm kind of going through my backlog of titles. Been doing a bit of Far Cry 5, getting back into there. Although I did have a bit of a nuisance with it, because you've got different counties or different areas, and they tell you how many missions or stuff left to do in the areas. I had the first area with two missions left, and I was like, I don't see it, and I had to Google it and look into it, and it turns out, apparently, even though, because there's some collectibles in it, and there's a couple of characters ask for comics, and there's a character who asks for lighters, I believe, Vietnam lighters. They're spread across the whole of the county, even into the third area and the second area, and I didn't know that, so I was thinking, wandering around the same bloody area, thinking, where's these last two missions? Thinking, I'm not going to go to the next area until I've done those two missions. Fucking look at the map. They're all dotted about in those areas. I'm like, fine. So I've been playing that. And a bit of South Park. The Fractured Butthole. Which is quite good. I'm coming close to finishing it. Some of the moments are just brilliant. But yeah, just a mixed bag, really. Just here, there, and everywhere. Very eager to talk about Battlefield, though.
I've noticed on Far Cry 5 you have to have unveiled that part of the map by driving over it, not flying over it, by driving or walking over it, before it will tell you if there's something in that area.
Yeah, you literally need to go, you've still got some grey patches, but you have to at least go to the area once to sort of reveal a bit more of the areas.
Yeah, you have to have been close to it.
Hmm. I was doing some fishing in it as well. The fishing minigame is actually quite fun.
I like that.
It's annoying because there's a quest, or a mission, has you catch a giant fish, and it's an absolute bugger. And I'm not going around to it, but casual fishing is quite fun. That was my phone giving loads of notifications.
Put you on silent.
Okay, let's move on. Oh, sorry. Cal?
That was it, really. Yeah. Just doing a bit more about the backlog. And doing a bit of Assassin's Creed as well, just here, there, just all over the place.
Okay, and Hamilton, what have you been up to?
I have been chest deep in The Witcher 3. I've been promising myself that I will finally finish it. Having bought the DLC a long time ago and never actually got to the level high enough to play it.
Why would you lie to yourself?
Bugger the backlog, innit?
The problem is that whenever I play, my second playthrough of every game is my completionist playthrough. So I'm going to investigate all the little question marks on the map, doing all the quests. Basically meant that before I went to the second area, which is Skellige, which the recommended level, I think when you go there is 11 or 12 for the first quest over there, I was level 26 when I went over, because I'd done everything in Velen beforehand, so now I'm horribly over-leveled for everything in Skellige, which means I have to spend ages doing quests to grant me a grand total of 1 XP each time I complete it. But, you know, they're for the story, not for the XP, so trudging through that and trying to get through as much of it as possible. Still haven't finished God of War as well, which I need to finish. But I'm enjoying taking my time with that one. I'm not going to rush through it.
I still need a PS4.
Everyone needs a PS4.
I'm waiting, like, just completely ran out. I've been searching for a PlayStation Pro for a little bit. And before the release of God of War, there was a really good deal on Very, I believe. It was like 380 quid with FIFA 18 and God of War. It was like a pre-order one. And I thought, oh, yeah, I might pick that up. I'll wait till I get paid. Da-da-da-da. Time comes, bloody sold out everywhere. Just literally, just as soon as God of War came out, everyone has bought a PS4 Pro. And it's just now some places are starting to get stock back in. And I'm thinking, what's the point now? It's E3. I mean, you suspect Sony's going to announce something.
The if you're signed up to the PlayStation mailing list, they emailed yesterday about Days of Play sale starting 8th of June. They're obviously games are going to be on sale, but also the consoles. So you might want to check that out.
I am going to, because the Pro is going to get a price drop, which is good.
But not as good as the bass drop. Kayla, what have you been up to?
Sorry, I was just clearing my throat.
Eating.
So after my crisis of finishing StarCraft 2 and not knowing what to play, I got a little itch to play an RPG, and I was like, oh, I'll jump back into Skyrim for a little bit and play that for just a little while. I probably won't even get past like the first like 20 minutes because I'll get bored. But instead, I ended up downloading Enderal, and that has now been my life. Nothing exists outside of my room. Enderal is everything, and everything precious to me from now on, so that's where I am. Actually, it's amazing that I'm here doing the podcast right now rather than playing Enderal. So for those who don't know, Enderal is the total conversion mod for Skyrim, which is basically an entire game just made using the engine in Skyrim. And my opinion, it's 100 times better than Skyrim. Story, absolutely fantastic. Gameplay, better. Just everything's better. Aside from it being a bit unstable, like sort of loading into areas, it tends to crash quite a lot, but the load time's quite small, so it's not really a big issue. That's kind of been me, completely.
So is it a fantasy mod, or...?
Yes, so it's...
Have they modded in some laser guns?
No laser guns yet. I wouldn't be surprised. It uses a lot of the assets from Skyrim, but there's a ton of custom-made models. The environments are beautiful. They are absolutely packed full of stuff, just like foliage, creatures. There's so many more just little creatures like birds and that running around everywhere. All the voice lines, everything is theirs. They've all different voice lines, even just like little bits of banter between NPCs and everything. So it literally uses nothing but mechanics in Skyrim and some of its assets, and the rest of it's just entirely their own stuff. And yeah, it's amazing what they've done.
Okay, sounds good. I'll have to check that out.
Nikki, I really recommend it.
Okay, Nikki, what have you been up to other than watching Enderal?
I've been watching a fair bit of that. It's really good, actually. I've been... what have I been playing? I've been playing a fair bit of Destiny the last couple of days, and a good amount of Hyrule Warriors on the Switch, because that is pretty amazing. But beyond that, not a lot. It's been a bit of a busy week for me, I'm afraid.
Okie dokie. And Catty.
I've not really been playing much at all. I played Mike Biffle's new game, Quarantine Circular. It's another one similar to his last game, Subsurface Circular. It's sort of very story-based. Effectively, it's a visual novel, though it's not anime. So if you're into that kind of thing, but are put off by the great big anime titties, then these kind of games are go and look at the Biffle shorts, because they're very good. This time you play as a variety of different people talking to an alien that has come down to save everyone from a plague. And that's a thing. And I won't say any more than that, because it's a story game. And there's nothing else in it. It's just story. Past that, my Hogwarts adventures have continued, though very slowly. I've not had much time to put into it this week. We found out that I found Bill Weasley, an actual named character that exists from outside this game. He's now with me, and we're learning how to burn ice. That's really all that's happened this week.
Are you, like, literally burning ice, or is that like a euphemism for drugs?
We're learning how to cast Incendio, the fire charm, on the ice that doesn't go away anymore.
How much energy did that cost you?
I don't know. Well, so far in learning it, I've had to talk to 4 people and expend my energy bar about 12 times. So, and we've not even learnt the spell yet. A lot. This game is exhausting. Literally.
Are you actually enjoying it, or is this the sunk cost fallacy? You've already put in so much time, you have to keep going.
I want to see the end of the story more than I want to not play the game anymore.
I really am my dedication.
I mean, apparently there's dating in the third year, and I'm really down for that. If there's like if this game third year just turns into a dating simulator, I'll be really pleased with the fact I've stuck with it.
Are there
Although if it takes more than
sorry,
I was going to say if it takes more than 28 energy to bang someone, I'm going to be really upset.
It takes 20 energy to say the first sentence.
That's sadly probably true.
As for me, I've completed Metro Last Light Redux. Very, very, very good game.
Awesome
part
game.
Part 9 of the Metro Diaries should be on the site towards the end of the month. About the middle of next month, actually. There's so many weeks. I've also been playing Lego Worlds, because Steam were doing that play games in your backlog and get a badge, except I missed it. After I'd played about half an hour of Lego Worlds, it said I realized that I'd missed the first day, so I just gave up. Didn't do any more of that. And I've also been playing Black Desert Online for review, because the developers got in touch asking if we could review it, because there's been so many changes since launch, and former Greencaster Fowler never got around to writing his review for it. So,
I wonder how different it looks from when I did the preview. Oh, what was it, a year and a half ago?
It's got to be at least that.
Yeah. I bet it's completely unrecognisable comparing to it now.
Which launch are they talking about? Are they talking about the original launch, which was in Korea in, like, 2014, or the Western release, which was, like, 2016 or something?
I imagine it's changed since both launches. Right. Speaking of launches, or rather lack of launches, our first news piece, the Steam Link app was released for Android. We spoke about it last week. It was supposed to be coming to iOS, but has been rejected by Apple, which means it will not be coming to iOS until they can get this ironed out. Hopefully Apple will reconsider in the future, Valve wrote.
Apple don't care. They've probably just got to make their own.
What a strange move from a company well known for its embracing of video games.
Apparently, Apple have cited business conflicts with app guidelines that have been allegedly not that had allegedly not been realized by the original review team. Basically, the people who checked it out first said, yeah, sure, we'll send this up the chain. And the next group of people said, oh, no, that conflicts with Apple, because we also allow Steam to link to phones.
I think the thing they're getting up at here is this app allows you to use play games that aren't on the Apple infrastructure on an Apple device. So you're removing the competition from the iOS store.
But the irony of this is that if Apple actually allowed it, they would probably see an increase in sales because people would then want to stay on the platform because they could do this remote play. But Apple would obviously never think of that because they're idiots.
But I guess it's Apple's the being cold dicks. Mentality.
It is, yeah.
I'm not sure that's necessarily true. I'm not sure that the people using their... I don't think that... I was talking to someone the other day and they were saying that there is no mobile gamer. It is now just a ubiquitous thing. There are less people in the world, in the Western world at least, who don't play games on their phone than there are people who do. So I think they're relatively justified if they think that this will stop people buying games for the phone, for their devices.
Fewer people. You said less people. Anyway, speaking of less, there are less games available on Steam now that GDPR, the legislation that's taken off in Europe last week, has come into effect. Mirage Arcane Warfare has shut down, will be shortly. Yesterday, shut down their official servers, meaning that players are no longer able to play it unless they set up their own servers or play it offline.
I had hopes for this game. I mean, it's made by the guys who did Chivalry. So much the same similar genre, but this time they added a whole Arabian Nights theme to it. I don't think it settled well with people because people just seem to enjoy the silliness, crazy, like medieval style of Chivalry. And this one was them trying to make a bit of a hero type game with basically the same premise. I can't remember, I barely played it to be fair.
It was also quite visually messy. There was a lot of stuff going on, and it made it very difficult to understand what was going on.
I'm just wondering, the Chivalry sequel.
From the looks of Steam charts, it's never really got a player base, so
never took off.
That's probably more behind the close down than the GDPR, I would assume.
To be fair, a lot of companies have been using GDPR as essentially a smokescreen for other reasons, like what you've just said. I mean, there are some that are genuinely affected by it, and I would appreciate that, you know, quite a few are. But in this instance, I would say they're probably just using it as a smokescreen to cover the fact that the game just unfortunately never picked up. Which is a shame, because it looks really good.
Ace, have you taken the opportunity to tell our listeners that we've updated our privacy policy?
I have not, because this is not an email.
Might be worth it anyway.
Yes, on GameGrin.com you can find our updated privacy policy, thanks to this GDPR nonsense, at GameGrin.com/about-us/privacy.
There's a fantastic Twitter account that takes all of the Times political cartoons, the satirical cartoons, and changes the caption to "We've updated our privacy policy." And it's every one of them is funny because it works for everyone somehow.
I Well, moving on without a segue, The Wolf Among Us 2 has been delayed until 2019. It was supposed to be released later this year as a sequel, obviously, to The Wolf Among Us, based on the Fables comic, which ended in 2016. Has anyone been looking forward to The Wolf Among Us 2?
I've still got to play the first one.
Same. Very good game. You should get around to that. That's a very good game.
I should do, because I do enjoy the Telltales. The last one I played was Borderlands, I think? No, I tried to play Batman. I tried to go through the first episode of Batman, but it ran like shit on PC, and I kind of never went back to it.
See, the good thing about them delaying this, and with the Walking Dead Season 3, or 4, whichever one it is, they're actually going to have a new engine, which means that finally they can have some better animations.
Didn't they say that before?
Yeah, I did say I was hopeful.
Yeah.
Well, their statement was, taking this extra time will allow us to not only focus on quality, but also to experiment and iterate in order to craft something truly special.
Ooh.
Well, speaking of something special, Far Cry 5's first DLC has had a teaser trailer. Hours of Darkness. We'll see you taken to the jungles of Vietnam during the Vietnam War. Which wasn't a war.
Is there a reason that we're going to Vietnam now?
From what I played of the main game, there is a couple of characters and a few Vietnam vets. Because the game is all about America, hoorah. I suppose, despite them losing the Vietnam War, they still kind of go over it. But it's like the horror of it and all that. So there is some Vietnam veterans in Far Cry 5, and I think the character is based around a squad that's mentioned by one of the characters. Could be wrong.
Aren't they just placed in the game just to get people to buy the DLC?
It's a good idea.
Oh yeah, it's like a fantastic idea way of doing it. I just don't understand, like, wouldn't people want an expansion on the story of the actual game, or...?
Well, Blood Dragon was technically an expansion.
Well, about that.
yeah, I don't think you can expand Far Cry 5's story.
Yeah.
I don't think you can even explain it to begin with. It's a pile of...
it goes out its way, it sets out to what it wants to do. It's a bit disappointing, but it's still an enjoyable game, and I don't mind seeing more of Far Cry in different universes or different areas, because I know one of them is going to be on bloody Mars with with zombies.
I would be the first to admit that I was kind of excited about Far Cry 5, but seeing the season pass content got me really excited for Far Cry 5, because it just looks mad.
It does.
Fun fact, actually, one of the main developers on Far Cry 5, over the course of working on the game, he actually ended up becoming a doomsday prepper himself.
Lunatic.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen the world today?
That's okay, you'll be saying that when Doomsday prepper arrives.
I mean, I've been watching that show on Netflix, like the to-do of doomsday preppers, and these poor, like, some of them, all right, fair enough, if you bought a home and it's got a bunker already there, then I probably would refurbish it and maintain it. But these people got, like, you know, we've got stacks of freight containers to build this home. We do prepping every single day. It's like, what the hell? This is like your full-time day-to-day life.
Everyone needs a home.
Yeah, I suppose.
But, yeah. Wake up, have your toast, pretend that the nuke's going off.
Make sure you
work. Oh, like, what was it, the guy who went to work in Japan after the Nagasaki and Hiroshima bombs? Got bombed, went to work next day, went into work, and then another bomb hit. And he survived both.
Yeah, well, wasn't it something he lived in Hiroshima and worked in Nagasaki or something?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Yeah, and he survived both. It's just like, that must piss you off. I mean, first time you're like thankful, grateful for you, like you survived it. The second time you're like, oh, come on.
The Americans really hate you.
Yeah, such an inconvenience, you know. Like, one time, fair enough, but a second time, come on, like, it's too much.
It's a very American way to assassinate someone.
I think the inconvenient thing is he couldn't buy a lottery ticket afterwards.
Japan are amazingly efficient, though, with their trains. Like some of these stories read, one of them where like a train was like 25 seconds early from departing, and they did a proper full-on apology about it. Like press conference, yeah. Apology, saying, we apologize, we left at 25 seconds early. And there was another one where people were striking. They were going on strike. But they weren't just going around, like, standing outside the building protesting or anything like that. They were still doing their work. Like, this was a bus driver. They were still doing their job, but they weren't accepting money. They were just like, hop on.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a great way to do it, because the company's like, oh, the timetables and the routes are still going fine. Everything's working fine, but we're not making any money. It's brilliant. That went off topic then.
See, it's great as well, because just continue with that slightly, like, if we had that over here, heavens forbid we ever did, we'd never have any problems.
No, we wouldn't.
But no, instead we get Southern Rail, who've been striking for, like, what, 2 years? Also, screw you, Southern Rail, you made me late for work too many times.
Bit of snow, train's cancelled.
So they didn't make you 25 seconds early to work?
No, more like 25 minutes to an hour, 3 hours. I hate trains. I love trains, but I hate trains. Moving on.
There's a Southern Rail train from Brighton to London that wasn't on time for the whole 2 years that it ran. Never once was on time. It was always late.
That's actually impressive. At one point there, that's just the drivers being dedicated to making this train never on time.
Yeah, surely you change the timetable.
Just change it.
Just shift it, yeah. 10 minutes each way or something like that.
Anyway, Vietnam.
Famous for its trains.
Right, well, leaving Vietnam behind, and we'll go to the world of Pokemon. Two new games have been revealed. Pokemon Quest, a game on the Switch and coming to iOS and Android. It's a free to start, that is their phrasing, free to start game, where everything's a cube. It's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it, I'll be quite honest. I'll just read the description. Welcome to Tumble Cube Island. With cube-shaped Pokemon to befriend and hidden treasures to uncover, Pokemon Quest is a free to start game that introduces brand new land to explore. Here's the best part. It's available now for Nintendo Switch.
It looks like a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon game, but made in voxels.
And not as good, because it's free to start.
And not. All the Nintendo mobile games have been free to start. That's that's been their wording since. Apart from the Mario game, which you did have to pay. I had the demo.
So you're not fooling anyone. I suppose it's an honest way to describe a game, but it just like leaves a bad taste in my mouth, just the words free to start.
Yeah. But the one that everyone's excited about is Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. There's also a
Pikachu
one for people who like Pikachu, but the one for people who like Pokemon is Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. It's an RPG, 3D RPG style game that will be able to tie in somehow. I'm assuming you can link accounts with Pokemon Go eventually. I don't quite know when it's 16th of November. Yeah, coming to Switch. And the best part is you'll be able to buy that Pokemon ball, that Pokeball thing that you could get for Pokemon Go and pretend to chuck that when you're chucking your Pokeballs.
Then your TV is going to get broken.
Which would be... That would make that thing the second additional peripheral, I think is the word, for Pokemon Go. Because there was that watch that no one was ever able to actually buy because they only made about 300 and all of them sold in Japan.
Yeah, but that's typical Nintendo. They make a fantastic product, make loads of stock, and then burn 90% of it.
I can't wait for someone to try and complete Dark Souls using the Pokeball.
It's going to happen.
The interesting thing about this is like, because I'm still torn on this, is like, when I first saw, you know, that we started getting information and leaks about this, you know, Pokemon Go integration, it's like, really? That sounds a bit... But when you actually see it in the video and the way they talk about it, it's like, okay, I get this. Okay, you're aiming at a younger audience as well, the ones that have come in via Pokemon Go, and Pokemon Go is an astounding success, so fair dues. But it's a bit of a weird trailer, because the way it sort of explains it in the trailer, it makes me seem like... It is just, oh, there's a Pokemon. Throw Pokeballs until it goes in. Like Pokemon Go. Like, do I still get to beat the shit out of the Pokemon
no.
before I throw a Pokeball at it? Like...
No, you don't. So there's two systems in the game. So the wild Pokemon, you don't battle anymore. You just throw Pokeballs at them.
God damn it.
See, doesn't this just kind of defeat the purpose of Pokemon Go now? Because you can just sit in your living room and go get all the Pokemon that you need and not bother to go outside anymore?
I don't think... You can transfer your Pokemon from Pokemon Go to this game. You can't do the reverse, with the exception of one, which is the 152nd Pokemon, which no one knows what it is yet. It is a new Pokemon, apparently. The thing that's got me really interested in this, sorry, Nikki, is the co-op. This is the first Pokemon game with actual co-op in it.
Well, it's not... Well, very quickly, I was going to add that with the transferring, it looks like when you transfer a Pokemon to the Switch version, at least in the trailers, it adds them to, like, a Safari Zone kind of area. But in terms of the co-op, this is another thing that's a bit weird, is it's awesome, but is it actually co-op? Or does it, like, when the player 2 joins, is it just essentially copying your existing trainer? Because apparently, if you get into a battle, it doesn't do it as a double battle in that, like, you're both there. It's still just, like... Like the player 2 can just tell Pokemon 2 what to do. So I don't know. I feel like we just need to see more of that system in play.
In the trailer, they get into a battle and it's a double battle.
Yeah, but both trainers do throw a Pokeball.
Oh, okay. I'm just still kind of amazed by the fact that a trainer was riding an Onix around a city.
I think with all Pokemon games, they change little bits here and there and everyone loses their mind because it's not the same as the previous one. So we will have to wait until November to play this and actually see what it's like.
How dare there be innovation in my game?
The thing is, what previous one? Because it's not a Pokemon RPG. It's not like Pokemon Colosseum.
The thing is like, you know, okay, people aren't... Like, I'm a bit, like, confused by this, but I'll probably end up getting it anyway. The one thing everyone has to agree on, and I don't care what they say, is it looks fucking amazing. Like, graphically, I've waited for a Pokemon game that looks like this, like, the full 3D, and it looks good.
The okay, Pokemon yeah, the game in catching... full 3D, that was Pokemon Colosseum.
I didn't have a GameCube, leave me alone. But yeah, I've already seen people on Twitter being like, oh, hashtag not my Pokemon. You could just fuck off, mate.
Don't save it for the end of the show.
Oh, I've
you could just wait for next year. Because at the end of that, the thing that's not really been reported is at the end of 2019, there's going to be another main series entry and it's going to be on the Switch.
Yeah.
And which... I still bet anything that the people who are making it have come over from the Breath of the Wild team. Because that seems to be what everyone wants.
I mean, Breath of the Wild plus Pokemon. Yeah, I'm done with that.
I'll be done with it.
As long as I can just... In fact, can every game from now on just be Breath of the Wild? Dead Space, no. Breath of the Wild.
No, because then you wouldn't get Fallout 76, which is the new game announced from Bethesda. We don't know anything about it other than it's called Fallout 76 and takes place on Reclamation Day, 20 years after the bombs fell in the Fallout universe. And it's coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC at some point.
Boo-hoo, no Switch version.
I'm sure you'll get Fallout 4 for the Switch.
I don't think it will happen, to be honest with you.
I think that will.
I don't think that looking at the specs for Fallout 4, I don't think the Switch would manage it.
Yeah, because they could come out and say, like, Fallout is coming to the Switch. Fallout Shelter.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably will, to be fair.
Hmm.
So, I had a good time sitting and actually watching the stream for this announcement, as stupid as it was. Partly because I really enjoyed just looking at the chat and seeing all the people demanding that everyone ports the channel for AFK and people speculating on what it could be. So those who don't know, it was like a 24-hour stream of literally a Vault Boy bobblehead and a screen in the background, and every now and then some of the developers would just come in and just do stupid stuff. So like they throw like some balloons in, or like a Vault Boy puppet would come along and start doing stuff, and it was just quite entertaining just to sit and watch.
My favourite thing was about 1 a.m. our time, they put the Vault Boy to bed.
That was
everyone
wonderful.
Was just losing their shit. The lights go down and it's just the Vault Boy in bed for like 6 hours.
Well, developers had to go home.
That's the thing, though. The developers didn't go home because they were still there walking around
stuff,
in the background.
Right, well, the trailer is shown as a bit inside the titular Vault 76. We see the protagonist, we can assume, wearing a gold and blue uniform. Overalls, that's the word. Gosh. And a strapping on a Pip-Boy with the date on it, and it's a Pip-Boy Pip-Boy 2000 Mark IV, which we used in the original Fallout.
So, Vault 76, from what I've learned, it sounds quite interesting, because this vault was one that they didn't experiment on. It was designed to open 20 years after the bombs. So they would come out and reclaim the land. So I'm really curious to see what this vault is actually going to be like. And I'm just looking at the vault suit as well, and there seems to be like a wire or something attached to the actual suit. I don't know what the significance of that could be, because all the other vault suits have been very just clean vault suits, like nothing special with them. So a small thing like that looks a bit interesting.
My bet would be it is some sort of power for the Pip-Boy, because it goes down the on the shoulder where you have the Pip-Boy, I think.
Yeah, I think you might be right, actually.
And this is only 20 years after the bomb. This is 2102.
No, it's I'm looking at the screenshots now. It loops over the shoulder, so it goes down to the front of the overalls and connects to what looks like a something on the left left breast of the overalls. Just to the where the heart is, essentially.
Yeah, I can see that now. Yeah.
The thing that there's a picture, one of the pictures from the and it's in the trailer. The shot of the very empty looking vault. But is it me, or does that not look like a Rocket League arena?
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Also known as a football pitch.
Yeah, also known as a football pitch.
No, I mean, just in general, like the actual like design of that room, you could put that into Rocket League and that would just look fine.
Oh, it's going to be Fallout 76 Rocket League DLC.
No. Well, the rumours swirling around currently is that because there were 500 residents in the in the vault and everyone goes out at the same time, and I think Cal said this earlier on the Discord as well, that it's going to be some sort of multiplayer survival game akin to Rust, where everyone leaves the vault at the same time and then has to make their way in the wasteland. Which is, at least it's not Battle Royale, if that's the case.
Mm. It will have a Battle Royale mode as well.
I still like the 500 player Battle Royale mode.
There was a developer that's working on something like that.
And it could work, because the circle getting smaller could just be Radiation Storm.
Hmm.
Bethesda, I'm making this game for you. You've just got to do all the hard work.
As I just say, hey, you mentioned about actually a game makes a lot of sense.
I think there's a developer that's making not 500, but I think it was 400 player Battle Royale game. And last time I was reading into it, apparently they were trying to work a way around of having 400 players concurrently going on a server, and they couldn't get it to work. So they were then looking into having 4 servers running simultaneously to host the single game so that there's 100 players per server, and then it goes all really kerfuffled from there. Just before I throw that in.
Just going back
to
a little
bit. Fallout 76, saying there's rumours about at the moment. That's all we know about the game. Mm.
Well, Jason Schreier of Waypoint came out and said everyone expecting it to be an RPG will be sorely disappointed. A single-player RPG will be sorely disappointed.
I couldn't imagine.
I mean, this would not be the first time Jason Schreier has been terribly, terribly wrong about what he thinks a video game is going to be, so I take everything that man says with a very large pinch of salt.
The way I see it is they've got the foundations of building shit, just like in Fallout 4, the same as all these other survival games where you do craft and you build, etc., etc. Fallout still has that sense of survival. You run out of ammo quite quickly, you know.
So you're saying it's going to be a survival game?
I literally do believe it's going to be a survival game, yes. I think it would just be more online focused, and it might be a bit like Conan Exiles, where that kind of has some quests and some story stuff going throughout of it, but it's primarily a survival, you know, build your house, build a shelter, hope you don't get raided by bandits, you know, you can kill each other off, you know, that's how I imagine it would be.
Well, according to, and again, like Katie said, take it with a pinch of salt, but according to Schreier and his sources anyway, the game's in development, not just in the Bethesda main studio in Maryland, but their newest branch in Austin, which was working on a hero combat game called Battle Cry before it got cancelled, and then they got shifted onto Fallout 76. So it's being made across 2 different offices. And he mentions a lot of sources who can't be named, obviously, because, just because they'd be pretty poor journalistic principles to name your sources.
Right, well, moving on to our final news piece. Another game was revealed this past week. Battlefield V. Sorry, 5.
Yay, new Battlefield!
It released with no controversy at all.
Yeah, it went all smoothly. The conference was great. Trevor Noah, he was funny as always. We got to see a trailer. And yeah, everyone's looking forward to October. If only that were true. In a perfect world.
On that conference, I didn't watch it live, and I watched the whole thing after the fact, because I can't remember what I was doing. I was doing something. It might have even been this podcast. But that's half an hour of my life I'm never getting back.
I
was
out.
Seriously... It was seriously bad. I don't know why I watched the whole thing. I must have dozed off in the middle, because I remember the trailer starting, and the trailer was cool. Like, don't get me wrong, that trailer looked really awesome for a teaser trailer for a game that's never going to look anything like that in a million years.
In engine.
But why did they do that? I'd actually rather sit through the 12 hours of Bethesda not saying anything. Just a silent stream. That was better.
I wonder if people are listening to this and thinking, God, this is going on a bit. about something that was going on.
Well, Battlefield 5 was... It's nice to see.
Hashtag not my Battlefield 5.
Oh, God, yeah. I like the fact that they're going back to the Second World War. That was inevitable, to be fair. That was kind of obvious. That was going to happen, following from 1. Don't give a shit the fact that there's female characters in it. I couldn't care less, because since when has Battlefield ever been historically accurate? And... yeah, just everyone's just kicking up a fuss over some of the most menial things. What annoyed me the most, though, about the Battlefield 5 reveal, same with what Catty was saying, it did drag on. It was boring. And as soon as it popped up in the corner saying, trailer in 20 minutes, I was like, right, I'll come back in 20 minutes. Because when they were talking, I was hoping they would very much talk about in-depth gameplay, like what's being changed and things and this and that. And they gave little bits here and there about like the foundation system that you can now build and stuff in the battlefield. And you've got the war stories and the turning tides and the operations. Sounds all good. But then you get that trailer just kind of going, I need more. And it wasn't until like Jack Frags, I believe, did an interview with one of the first, and he actually gave out some really good information about the, how the game's going to be now, and it's got me hopeful.
It's strange because the trailer from when I saw it, I mean, it looked a bit of a hot mess if you ask me. I didn't really know what was going on with most of it, but it made the game look really, really arcadey, when in fact the changes they're making make it more strategical.
I know, it's weird. It's funny, because they're talking about some of the changes are going to be a lot more, well, I'm not going to say realistic, to be fair, but a bit more, so you have to work as a team. You have to be very team-oriented. If you're a medic, you know, you can drag teammates into cover and revive them. None of this, especially like with Battlefield 1 and Battlefield 4, like the defib and the needle for healing, you could just poke your back up, poke your back up, poke your back up. You know, you can swiftly revive 5 people in a row. Now it takes a good few seconds. There's a full-on animation on how to do it. Weapons each have their own recoil patterns and weapon handling. So they're doing some really good, clever stuff. But that trailer, it just completely got overwashed by this bloody trailer. People going, get my Battlefield. And then everyone has to go out and give a history lesson on the fucking idiot saying, yes, women were in the Second World War. They were in the First World War and they were in the Second World War. They did a lot more. Get over it.
My favourite... personal one was not someone saying that women weren't in the Second World War, but that prosthetic arms weren't in the Second World War. And someone got a picture of the exact arm that one, that really cool looking one that the weird woman has. It's almost identical. And it was a woman in the Second World War holding a gun in exactly the same way. And it was just like, you mean this one that was in the Second World War, this actual real thing that took 3 seconds of Googling to find.
I know.
People confuse Battlefield and historical accuracy. I think the reason why they do is because of like when the whole COD versus Battlefield thing, because Battlefield had the larger scale fights with vehicles and all sorts, for some reason that somehow lent the series the tag of being a realistic shooter, which can be further from the case. And even in fact, the lead director for DICE has said, you know, we always go for fun over authenticity, and that's always been the case. Like, you go back to 1942, and even then you had, like, things that were completely unrealistic. It's just, for some reason, it's been given this tag, and, you know, people are using this tag as... certain elements of the internet are using this tag as a rallying point, but, yeah, it's a strange thing, and it's... I mean, at the end of the day, like DICE say themselves, if it's fun, they don't really care. If people enjoy playing it, you know.
That's the main point about
it. I know where the confusions come from, because there was one time when DICE were incredibly historically accurate, and they stuck to exactly how things went, and every battle went exactly how it should have done. Obviously, 2006's Battlefield 2142. Exceptionally historically accurate.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, you've mentioned it, I don't know why they haven't made a 2143, because 2142 remains my favourite Battlefield game.
It's still a great game. I mean, a lot of people, if they want those realistic, perhaps very historically accurate battle games, then they're going to have to look at games like...
Red Orchestra?
Red Orchestra, Day of Infamy, the upcoming posts. Armor, I suppose. Yeah.
Armor,
if you want modern day. Now, they're proper games that are trying to cater for realistic tactical. And the fucking controls on Armor are just like, you've got six buttons just to crouch or give orders or something like that. And Day of Infamy and Insurgency are very realistic in the way the weapons are handled and the recoil. There's none of this spotting. It's like the Comros as well from Battlefield. You point at someone and there's a little dot appears above their head. You know? Yeah.
It's okay, though, because at the end of the day, the people that are being the vocal majority, and we get this with anything, and that are being all, oh, not my Battlefield, they're all the ones that are going to end up buying all the deluxe special editions, all the merch, spending all the money in the game, because they're a bunch of absolute twazooks. Who
of
honestly
course they're gonna buy into it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I like to always refer back to Left 4 Dead 2 with the boycott group on Steam, and then Gabe revealed in an interview that the great thing about them having their boycott group on Steam was they could see how many of them had pre-ordered it. And it was like 80%. People are jumping on the bandwagon because...
The Left 4 Dead boycott... Oh, I know, I remember now. Yeah. The Left 4 Dead 2 one was because people were like, why the fuck is there a sequel to Left 4 Dead 2?
How dare Valve make a game in less than 10 years? Oh my god. Gamers don't know what they want. Gamers are idiots, and I say that talking about myself as well. Gamers have no idea what they want, and they can't seem to grasp this concept that a developer is not making a game specifically for them personally. Sorry that we can't develop 7 billion different versions of the game to fit the taste of everyone. It's gonna be fun, it's gonna be great, and honestly, if people are offended by the fact there's a woman in their game, or that Pokemon's trying something new, or heck, that Fallout 76 might be an online survival shooter or a battle royale, just fuck off out of this industry and never play a game ever again. Just be gone, because honestly, you are the reason that this industry suffers at times and why we end up with terrible games, because they're the people that buy all the crap and make us go on. And no, you're laughing at me. I know, I can hear you laughing at me, Caleb, but I'm so annoyed at people, and I hate humans.
Tell us how you feel, Nicky. Don't hold anything back.
I was going to say, this is
why
pretty much the
gamers
start.
Hate everything?
Because this they're idiots the who are uneducated. Gamers, I'm sorry, they're uneducated idiots. There weren't women in war. Yes, there were. Go and read any fucking historical book or accurate. Prosthetic arms aren't real. Yes, they are. Oh, it's not historically accurate because it's in colour. Oh, fuck off. I'm sorry. I'm done. What? I'm sorry.
That's what I love about.
I'll shut up now. But like, honestly, no, you go. I'll just shut up. Like, I'm just so done with current climate.
There's always that balance of like realism and like trying to be historically accurate. When I was younger, I used to think Call of Duty was fucking historically accurate. The original Call of Duties when they were in Second World War, but they were like more a case of, I'm enjoying these games, it's letting me learn about the Second World War, I want to learn more about it, and go off and read a history book, which I have done so, and done that with a few other games as well. Even bloody Assassin's Creed Origins maybe gave me a bit of a history lesson in the Egyptian gods and all that, and I was like, and that their little historical talk is pretty good. But then you get the assholes always like, they just want to shit, and they just want to see the world burn. But I do agree that...
they just want to shit. They're just they're constipated. That's why they're so angry.
That's why there's more people playing portable games, because they're always on the shatter, having a shit.
It's just the whole controversy mentality we've got at the moment. Like, it's outrage, you know. People just... They need something or anything to be outraged by, to have a massive brand set. Like, and we all do. We all do it with all kinds of different things. But... yeah, it is just literally there. It's just that I want to be angry about something, and I have a platform to express that, so I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter if it's justified or makes sense. I'm just going to do it anyway.
It's the same things with, like, not just gaming, but it's other things, like in TV and movies. And because we're in this age of social media, anyone, more people would rather be offended than happy with something. So, like, even if it's something to not their liking, they're instantly feel like they're, you know, insulted or, buddy, like, this affects my gender, whichever, buddy. One you are, your choice. And because we're in that age of where it's like, you know, keyboard warriors over their phones, people bitching, slapping each other back and forth and talking shit, it just sucks the fun out of some sometimes.
But this is the thing as well, is because they are the vocal ones, they're just ruining for everyone, despite the fact that they're the ones that are actually just being idiots. So, you know,
yeah.
If the thing that gets me as well, like Destiny, for example, yes, Destiny 2 has had problems. Bungie have been working hard. Like today, the Crucible Labs came out. You can play a new game mode that's not quite finished, and it's quite fun. I jumped into it before the podcast. It's good. It's all right. But immediately, there's people complaining that it's like, it's not the right kind of content. We wanted more content, but not this kind. It's like, what do you? You don't know what you want. You're a spoiled brat who has no idea. Just shut up and enjoy what you've been given. This is the point of what I'm trying to voice in a very angry way, is that if people actually just enjoy what they're being given and appreciate it for being what it is, up with better games. If you actually give constructive feedback. Okay, if a game's shit, a game's shit. By all means, have a go about it. But like, if a game is good or it has potential, if people actually put their energy into complaining, into giving valid feedback, we would have better games, and maybe we'd be one step closer to world peace. But that's just wishful thinking.
I mean, it doesn't happen often, but there are some games out there that do, you know, take the feedback and recover from the backlash and gains, you know, favored success. Rainbow Six Siege did it, and I'd probably say
No Man's Sky is currently doing it.
Yeah. No Man's Sky is doing it. Even Final Fantasy 14 Online, when that launched, that was a pile of shite.
Oh, that's the pinnacle of it.
Yeah, and they were like, "We're sorry, we apologize. We'll come back in a year. Boom, we'll be born.
We'll shoot all the previous developers and hire a brand new team."
Yeah, we'll start again. And they've now produced probably one of the second best MMOs I've played in a long time, to be fair.
Yeah. And it continues to
one of the second best.
Yeah.
There's lots of, you've got World of Warcraft and then lots of second bests.
Well, I don't ever consider an MMO as having a number one MMO, so I sort of just put them second best.
So there's no number one spot, there's every game.
No, there's no number one. There's never a number one. Because a number one would mean I would have to have finished it. And I've not finished an MMO. I've not done... You can't do every piece of content in an MMO.
There are so many people probably listening to this right now who are going to be disagreeing with you there.
All right. There's probably a couple out there. I'd imagine World of Warcraft has got an end game. That's everyone's done everything.
That's that they do the expansions and add more. And
exactly.
People do that.
Exactly. Just continuously growing and growing and growing. So I don't... I just make it second best. So The Division, I class that as an MMO as well.
Speaking... Actually, I've got no... To go back to a topic we talked about earlier, when you said that the Pokemon game had released on... Pokemon Quest had released on Switch already, I had no idea. So I went and downloaded it, and I've been playing it for the last 12 minutes. And my God, this game is a piece of shit. It's... my complaints about Harry Potter were mostly around energy. This one, you can do 5 missions, which last about 2 minutes, and then you have to wait for 20 minutes before you can do another one.
But can you spend real money to get to do more?
It took it less than 10 minutes to tell me that I could do that. And that it literally made me go in, as part of the tutorial, made me go into the thing
to show me how to play. They're the worst.
And I hate that they just justify it as, oh, yeah, but you don't need to spend money, you can just wait. It's like, no, that's not a justification.
See, I've downloaded like a rhythm game onto my phone, Tapsonic Max or Tapsonic Top, and it's again, it's full of microtransactions and things like that, but it's kind of nice because so far there have been so many opportunities to earn the currency just from playing. The only real thing is like the energy, but the game's been throwing energy at me, and again, like, that's the typical thing. Like, I'm sure I'll hit a wall at some point, but there is no happy medium with mobile games, I find, in terms of like this energy meter and how not to be an ass about it.
I find that with a fair few. I get into a mobile game for a little while and then like kind of just stop or teeter out. I was playing that Titanfall one for a little bit. I was getting into it and enjoying it, and then I just kind of just stopped. And then it got to a point where I was getting notifications for it, and then even then notifications stopped because it's like, oh, you've given up. I'm like, yeah, I'm not deleting you, but I've given up.
So to actually buy these microtransactions, you have to go into the Nintendo store, which is probably fair enough. And they go from £2.69, which appear to be completely useless things the game gives you anyway, to £4.49, which is the first one that actually gives you something you can't get just by playing the game, or up to £26.99, which gives you three of them.
That's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
But wait, it sounds like we're hating
and I don't
on this game.
I think you can buy them more than once, though. Which is weird.
We must be able to. I mean, the game is coming out to mobile phones in like a week or two, so...
Later in June is the official date.
I mean, it's June in 2 days, so, yeah. Also, seriously, like, I know our main topic right now is, like, why do people hate games, but just to sidetrack slightly, there's the LEGO DC Supervillains game. Why was everything announced today?
Yeah, I actually missed that off my list of recently revealed games. DC Supervillains, which is just going to be Batman's villains plus Lex Luthor.
It's just Lego. It's another Lego game.
But they're good. They're funny.
No, well, yeah. I didn't say they're bad. It's just that it's just a Lego game. Like when they announce a new one, I don't feel them. They need to do any hype. It's just it's just got this character now.
No, the only one that looks very weird to me is the Incredibles. Like it just looks weird. Like their characters don't work as Lego characters.
Okay, that's a different conversation. Time.
Sorry, I'll be quiet now.
But yeah,
it's just Lego games. They can keep releasing them, and I'll probably keep buying them. But
yeah,
I won't be excited for it.
Well, let Lego release Marvel superheroes or DC's Batman, and a bit because nobody buys a game from DC that isn't Batman. Of course, you have games like Aquaman, which aren't very good in themselves, so that doesn't really make a case for buying a non-Batman game. But
I'd be interested to see, because there's a Teen Titans Go film coming out really soon. I'd be interested to see if there's a tie-in game for that that isn't on mobile.
I was going to say, it'll be on mobile if there is one. Because it's just people aren't interested in developing superhero games, except for this, the upcoming Spider-Man one and the still unannounced Avengers title coming from Crystal Dynamics. I was thinking Diamond. No, Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah, it's always,
Rocksteady could be working on something.
So I was going to say, it's always like fighting games for the superheroes, or as you said, like the big names like Batman or Spider-Man.
The problem is superpowers can be very difficult to do because you kind of need to be superhuman to use them, and some of them don't translate very well to video games. Like, what do you do with the Flash? His thing is running fast, so do you make it like an endless runner?
I mean, Sonic's been struggling with that for a long time.
We want a Squirrel Girl game.
Yes. I am all for
No, that. We want a Squirrel Girl RPG where you can basically just do whatever you want because that's basically Squirrel Girl's MO. If you want to get to the end boss and just talk them down and be friends with them, because that's a thing that Squirrel Girl has done with Galactus, then that's got to be the thing. That's the only way you make that game.
She didn't technically talk him down. She talked him into eating a different planet.
Same difference.
I think we should get the story of her versus Thanos.
Squirrel Girl has defeated Doctor Doom, Thanos, and Galactus. How she's defeated Thanos, we don't know, because it happened between panels. But yeah, Squirrel Girl is great. And since we're on a positive note, we might as well end the podcast there.
Damn it!
Thank you for joining me, Cal, Hamilton, Kayla, Nikki, and Catty. If you want to tweet to us on Twitter, because where else would you tweet to us, you can do so at Greencast. You can find Game Green on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Remember to check out our Twitch stream from 8 PM BST, or UK time, depending on when you're listening to this, I suppose, every single day, or usually every single day. You might want to check before you. And you can find this very podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or GameGrin.com. And while you're at it, game on.